So, good morning, everyone. This going to the last session of this seminar. Guru Nishtha, or having faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. So, what did we discuss until now? That so we discussed the nature of the relationship between a qualified disciple and an authentic spiritual master. And especially in the first session, we explained the principle of empowerment. Empowerment that comes when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master with unflinching faith. We discussed that principle of empowerment, the position of the spiritual master, the nature of real association following the instructions of the spiritual master, that's the real association, the necessity of accepting a spiritual master. We discussed the characteristics of an authentic spiritual master, but also the qualities of a bona fide disciple. We heard these 8 qualities, and we concluded that we don't have them, but we have a good chance to develop them. We discussed the importance of having faith in the spiritual master, and then we spoke about Srila Prabhupada. What was so special for Srila Prabhupada? And we quoted from Shastra, when Krishna spoke about Srila Prabhupada. Very interesting. Then the next session, we did a reality check. What's the cause of our misery? What's our situation? And how to come out of it? The conclusion was chanting Hare Krishna. And we discussed reasons for chanting Hare Krishna. And then we heard about 14 reasons given by Srila Prabhupada for chanting Hare Krishna. And then last session we spoke mainly about we discussed the importance of Vaishnava association. But that was the second part, the first part of the session. We never got to the second part of the session, so we will discuss that today, the second part. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Chanchana Shakaya Sakshimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Chitchitanya Manobhistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svam Rupakabhat Gadamayam Dadati Svapahantikam Vandiyam Shiro Shiyuda Padkamnam Shirum Vaishnavamsa Shirupam Chagachatam Sakanaraghunatam Pitamtam Sativam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Sikrishna Chitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sakanalita Shri Vishakam Pitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jyotpati Gopisha Gopka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansna Kaurangi Radhe Vrindavana Shri Vishavana Sita Devi Pranamai Hari Priye Vankha Kalptur Vyasha Kripasam Vivisha Patanam Pavan Vyo Vaishna Vyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charusam Pinani Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadri Paskachai Tisatarane. So last time we discussed the importance of Vaishnava association. Or do you remember why was that so important?
Helps you to progress in spiritual
life, make it personal. Okay, without association of devotees, we cannot make any progress in spiritual life. Point. That was it? Something more?
They have Krishna. Without them giving you Krishna, you can't receive Krishna.
Okay. To approach Krishna, we have to approach first his devotee. That, Srila Prabhupada quoted in a few lectures the American proverb, love me, love my dog. If you want to love me, you first have to love my dog. And that's also, Krishna is also like that. If you love me, you have to love my pure devotee first. That otherwise, no way to go to Krishna directly. That's, therefore we have the Guru Parampara. Very good point that we quoted different verses from scripture. Do you remember one of these verses which stresses Vaishnava association?
Satam
prasangam mamavya sambhivo bhavantri pranarasya asa inakata tatyosna zapavarga vaktmani shvadarati vaktranu pramishati. Satam prasangam is attachment to Satam, pure devotees, pure devotees of Krishna. And why are we attached to hear from them about Krishna? That's because they are full of Krishna nectar. We want to hear from them. That's our attachment to the sadhu. We hear and it enters the heart, and that brings us on the path of liberation. We become absorbed in our loving relationship with Krishna and we forget his body. That no miseries anymore. Yes? Other quote? That's it's from the same chapter, Lord Kapila Dev, 5 verses before. You quoted verse 25, then we have verse 20. And also the verses between are about Vaishnava association. It's Prasangam Acharam Pasam Atmana Kavayo Vidu Saiva Sata Sukrito Moksatvaram Abhavitam. So if we become attachment to material objects, material things is a cause of material entanglement. That same attachment, if transferred to a sadhu, is the source of liberation. Again, that attachment means hearing about Krishna and following the instructions, attached to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That's the attachment. And we quoted also King Rishabhadev. King Rishabhadev. What did he say about association or attachment to sadhus? That, he said, he spoke about Mahat Sevam. Mahat Sevam Varam Ahur Vimuktes. Vimuktes. Tvara means the door. Aur Vimuktes. The door goes opens for liberation when we do Mahat Seva. That, but then we have another door. The door that closes that Tamod Varam, the door to hell. Tamod Varam, Yosita Sangha Sangham, means the door to hell is attachment to all material things, in the sense of exploitation. That's the door to hell. So, today in the second part of this session, we want to speak about this door to hell. That's about non-Vaishnava association. So now, why is non-Vaishnava association not so good? Please.
Causes attachment and entanglement.
Attachment and entanglement. Attachment to what?
Material objects and sense pleasure.
Okay. You become, by associating with sense gratifiers, you become a sense gratifier. that's a good point. We spoke about that, we touched that during the Nectar of Devotion class. But I will repeat summary the main points I made there, but then we will go a little deeper. That, Nectar of Devotion means Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī has written Bhakti Rasamrita Simno, the manual for devotional service. But he wrote also the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instructions, which gives instructions for neophytes, beginners. Only for beginners, what he says. If we don't follow these instructions for beginners, then there is no hope to make further advancement. That's the beginning. And he gives 6 items which are favorable for devotional service, 6 items which are not so favorable. The not so favorable, that's he mentioned in text 2. Atyahara prayasas cha prajalpa niyamarama. Janasanga salalyam cha satbir bhaktir vinashyati. So here we have the word janasanga. Association with worldly-minded persons. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, businessmen, they come together and they associate with other businessmen because they learn from them the art of doing business. They like that association because they become more proficient in exploiting material resources. So they are that, but of course those who are interested in sense gratification, they come together, they associate with each other in clubs and so on. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned in that purport of the Nectar of Instructions, we have established ISKCON as a society for those who want to associate with those who have not forgotten Krishna. So that's another business. That text, also in text 3, it's so significant that in text 3, which deals with 6 items favorable for devotional service, that utsayam nisaya daryat tatat karma pravartanat sanghatyaga satovite sadbir bhakti vapashidati. This is an interesting verse because that whatever you want to do in your life, this is a success formula. So for those who are in business, how do I make my business successful? Utsam nisaya daryat means enthusiastic about it. If you are not enthusiastic about it, it will not happen. And then have confidence, I will get there, I will get the goal. If you are not confident, you don't have the determination. And have patience. These are very important point. But in here, Srila Goswami, although it are favorable items, he says a favorable item, he says, is Sangha Tyaga, give up association of non-devotees. He repeats it the second time. It's so important that he repeats it two times. That So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami, he said the first business of a Vaishnava is to give up the association of non-devotees. That now I was thinking, why is that so? Yes, you can accept that, but then interesting is that last week I was preparing a lecture which I'm supposed to give in Paris about Brahminical culture. So this if we associate with non-Vaishnavas, with non-devotees, then that is against this Brahminical culture. It's going totally against it. So let us look a little closer at our process of devotional service. Because Prahlad Maharaj is so kind to his father to explain him directly, immediately, the essence of the process of devotional service. Say Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pad Sevanam Archanam Vamanam Dasyam Sakyan Atmani Vedanam. Now Srila Prabhupada said these are two processes in one. that it's Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. These are two rails on two rail tracks from a railway, and we follow both. The first is Bhagavat Vidhi. Is that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam? So hearing about Krishna, remembering him, and hearing, speaking, remembering, kirtan, hearing the kirtan. So that's the process of hearing the Bhagavatam. We hear daily the Bhagavatam, remember Krishna. So that's Bhagavat Marg. But then you have Pancharatrika Vidhi, that's, we call it also Narada Pancharatra, because Narada Muni has introduced it. Here these nine Angas are mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, but Prahlad Maharaj is a disciple of Narada Muni. So, and he said, of course, we have all these different processes. Even one process is potent enough to bring you to perfection. That, but we have to apply both this Pancharatrika Vidhi, which are methods of devotional service, and the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, the Bhagavat Vidhi, at the same time. Because the Pancharatrika Vidhi will purify your heart. And there we come. It's interesting to look at this process of purification. And then we can understand that the association with non-devotees is a process of contamination. It's the opposite. And that's by looking at that, you see that Pancharatrika Vidhi, it's our body is polluted with lust, anger, greed, illusion, so many things. Polluted mind of a devotee can be purified by this process of Pancharatrika Vidhi. So it's interesting. This a few days ago we had association of Bhagavata Sraya Prabhu, and he was speaking about Mahavishnu Goswami, the old Swami from Gujarat, and his father was a Vaishnava. He was born in a Vaishnava family, and he was a cloth merchant. And in the morning, he would get up in the early morning, chant Hare Krishna, and then do his puja, his all morning program, and that would go on till 11 o'clock. And then he would go to his shop, he would sit in his shop and read the Bhagavatam. and if someone came for buying a cloth, he said, yeah, make your choice and take what you want. And so and then they would take the cloth and cut it what they wanted, and then they came to him and he said, oh, you want that? Here, look, that's what I paid for it. You can give what you want. So that was the way he did business. And further, he was reading the Bhagavatam. So we see how his father already, he applied these two processes. The Panchrada Kavidi in the morning, and then reading the Bhagavatam in the whole day. So that's transcendental life. Brahminical culture. This is a letter from Srila Prabhupada to Hanuman Prasad Poddar. No, I think it's Hanuman Prasad Maharaj now, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But he's also from Los Angeles, so probably it's the same person. Under Vedic Vidhi, a student is required to be a bona fide son of a Brahmin or twice born. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there are no regular samskaras from Garba, for Garbhadan. If they are not there, one is considered a sudra. But a sudra can be elevated to a Brahmin's position by Pancharatrika Vidhi. This is instructed by the sage Narada to Yudhisthir in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam. Yes. There are a few interesting quotes. I just redo two of them because it's a long list. But this is from the Vishnu Purana. Asuda Sutra Klapahi Brahmanakali Sambhava Tasamagama Markena Sudirna Shrutavartama. The Brahmins born in the age of Kali are merely Sudras. Their so-called Vedic path of karma is polluted and cannot purify them. They can only be purified by following the path of the Agamas or Pancharatrika Vidhi. It's mentioned here. So, sutras can become Brahmins by following that process. Of course, Srila Prabhupada quoted many times from the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam that Yasya Yal Lakshanam Puktam Pumsu Varna Vivanyakam Yatanya Treba Tristyeta Tat Yataneva Vinirdishat. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, as described above, even he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Sridhar Swami comments on this verse. If the proper symptoms are seen in persons other than those born as Brahmins, then such persons should be considered Brahmins. They should not be considered according to their caste by birth. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have a description, a short description of the main qualities of a Brahmin, Samodamastapasasham, Kshantir Aryavam Evacha, Jnana Vijnana Mastakyam, Brahma Karma Svabhavacham. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. So, what are the natural qualities of the non-devotees in this world? The sense enjoyers. It's the opposite. Peaceful, no, they are always disturbed. That Bogasvara Prasaktanam, Maya Parita Tesetasam, always disturbed. No samadhi possible. No peaceful. Self-control, no, they won't. They are controlled by their senses. They are controlled by the senses. Austerity, they don't like. That devotees in the beginning also don't like. Srila Prabhupada also said, I don't like. But we have to do. That's our austerity. Follow all the rules and from all the rules and regulations of devotional service. Purity, no, they are contaminated in mind by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, that envy, and so many other enemies of the mind. Knowledge, no knowledge, only the knowledge, false knowledge, related to the false ego. I and mine, that's their knowledge. Wisdom, forget it. No wisdom. And religiousness, only for sense gratification. That's all external. So we see that that's a whole different scenario. When is a Brahman? By these qualifications. And when is a non-devotee? A non-devotee has also his qualifications to be a non-devotee. So there was Satyakam. Satyakam was 5 years old, and his mother instructed him to go, he should go become a disciple of a Brahmin, go to the Gurukul, but first in the seventh canto. At the age of 5 years, Kamra Chiro Prachyo Dharma Bhagavatamyam Dulapan Manasamsamyam Tapya Dhruva Mahtadam. That's what Prahlad Maharaj said. One should go start cultivating Krishna consciousness from a young age, 5 years, Kamra age. Because this human form is very rarely obtained. So, Satyakam was sent by his mother to the house of the spiritual master, Gautama Rishi. And he arrived there, and Gautama Rishi said, I accept only disciples from a Brahmin family. That was in the beginning, the Vedic system. You have to be twice born. It means twice born, also Kshatriya and Vaishya. And he asked Satyakama, who is your father? Is he a Brahmin? Satyakama said, I don't know. And Gautama Rishi said, ask your mother. And he went to his mother, and his mother was a maidservant. And she said, yes, at that time I was visited by so many men, I don't know who your father is. So she was a prostitute, she could not say who his father was. And then Satyakam went back to Gautama Rishi and said, my mother doesn't know. She was visited by many men, and she doesn't know. And Gautama Rishi said, you are a Brahmin. I accept you as my disciple. Why? Because he was truthful. That he was not afraid from hiding it. He said the straight truth. That, and that's the quality of a Brahma. That's, so by quality, that's very important. That, so one of the qualities of Brahmins is cleanliness. Now, the sense gratificators, the non-devotees, they are just the opposite. Mm-hmm. You can see crazy things. Persons go to the toilet and then they don't wash their hands. I was born in such a family, more or less. It's always a little mixed, a little religiosity, but then the main emphasis is on sense gratification. And then we were with six children at home, so with eight in total, and we took once a week a bath. That mm-hmm. was on Saturday. We did not have a bathroom. That did not exist in the 60s and was very rare. That was for rich men to have a bathroom. So we had a bathing tub, and then water was heated, and then everyone took bath in the bathing tub. Then one person after another, that in the same water. I was the last one. so you can imagine this culture. It's a Brahmin takes three showers every day in the morning. That in early morning. And then at noon time, just before taking lunch, and in the evening before going to the temple. So that's external cleanliness. But that's not everything. There's internal cleanliness. That's chanting Hare Krishna with great attention to get rid of the lust, anger, and greed. Of course, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to get love of God. Because it's this contact with Krishna in the holy name that purifies us. That's the principle, the contact with Krishna. That is cleansing our heart. So the same with cooking, the cooking and tasting and so the difference between non-devotees and devotees, it's a big gap there. And it's very, if you associate with non-devotees, then your consciousness automatically becomes influenced. Like, even eating in the kitchen, where we prepare food for Krishna, it's not so good. Because even if we are devotees, to eat is an activity of exploitation. I'm going to exploit and taste and and that contaminates the atmosphere. So it's not only external cleanliness in the kitchen. It's also internal, but it's your consciousness. You should be in good consciousness to cook. A person who is full of anxiety and then cooks, and then you eat that, you eat the anxiety. It will enter in your mind. That's a principle. That you feel that. The consciousness enters the food, and Krishna wants us to get a consciousness of love for him, and that should enter into food. But non-devotees, they don't care in what consciousness, whatever situation, and they taste the unclean while cooking. So, best to avoid non-Vaishnava association, There are a few further quotes. Now, what's happening when you associate with non-Vaishnavas? If a devotee engages in non-devotee association, this is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who explains that if you engage in non-devotee association, then gradually this material attachment will increase. Our material attachment will increase. So, what does that mean? If one associates with non-devotees, very quickly his intelligence will be polluted and his heart will be overcome by their propensities. If anyone desires to attain pure devotion and service, he should carefully give up the association of non-devotees. So, who is a non-devotee? Definition.
Atheist.
Thank you. Please. Atheist. Okay. More specific. Yeah.
Anybody who lives without any regulation from scripture.
Okay. That's the contrary, that's the demoniac quality described in 16th chapter.
Yes. Would you, in non-devotee, would you separate the innocent and the envious? Or would you include them both as non-devotee?
That's interesting. If we look at the definition here given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can look at that. A non-devotee is one who is not subordinate to Sri Krishna. Innocent is not yet subordinate to Krishna, so he's a non-devotee. But he's not envious of Krishna, and therefore the devotees, the Madhyamadikar, will associate with them to elevate them to the point of becoming a devotee. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a whole list of non-devotees. The jnanis are non-devotees. The karmis are non-devotees. Because karmis, you can even... they can be pious and so on. But they are just living to give pleasure to the body and the mind in this life or in future lives. So they are not subordinate to Krishna. They will be subordinate to get a sense gratification to a certain sense by following the rules of piety. But that's not surrender to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna is Siddha Sitya Samabhutva. Samadvang Yoga Uchate. That means not be disturbed in happiness or in failure or not be very entice or happy if happiness comes. It's going together with the body. So that's quite different. So this is all this list continues. The yogis, they want mystic powers. That not surrender to Krishna, but they have a business with Krishna, they want mystic powers. Demigod worshippers, they want to go to the demigods. Dry logicians, speculators. They want to get to satisfy their false ego, to be a good rishi, a good muni. Muni means, to give another perspective on things. to disagree with others. That atheists, of course, and sense enjoyers, that's a big category. Right. Now, we are up to conclude our seminar with the last part. And I want to go back to the essence of our presentation earlier. That so that's the two things: the importance of having faith in the spiritual master and the importance of following the instructions of the spiritual master. That so Prahlad Maharaj said to his schoolmates, "You can also understand spiritual knowledge. Just by putting faith in my words, you can understand spiritual knowledge." That so this is from the seventh canto. That Narayan, the Supreme Personality of God, is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, formally explained this transcendental knowledge to the great sage Narada. That's Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his schoolmate. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand. That's not easy to understand transcendental knowledge. We may think that we understand, but one has to understand the practical aspect behind. See the spiritual technique and how to apply it in your life. It's not so easy. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand. Prahlad Maharaj says extremely difficult. It's not a little. That we are so illusioned that we are this body, and this I and mine is so strong that it's covering us to understand the real situation. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in nearly every lecture, "You are not this body." He repeats it, until we get it, because it's not so easy to understand. It's a very esoteric matter. Formally explained this transcendent knowledge to the great sage Narada. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. So to understand it, you need the association of a saintly person of Narada. But Prahlad Maharaj said, "But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand his confidential knowledge." Narada is in our disciplic succession. The head of our sampradaya is Brahma, and he explained it to Narada. It's a very interesting fragment in this regard. It is stated here that this confidential knowledge is extremely difficult to understand, yet it is very easy to understand if one takes shelter of a pure devotee. This confidential knowledge is also mentioned at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna says, "Sarva dharmam pricharya mamakam saranam vacha." "Abhidha all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me." This knowledge is an extremely confidential secret, but it can be understood if one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the bona fide agent, the spiritual master. In the disciplic succession from Narada, Prahlad Maharaj wanted to impress upon the sons of demons that although such knowledge can be understood only by a saintly person like Narada, they should not be disappointed, for if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, who were the material teachers of Prahlad Maharaj?
Oh,
Shandra and Amarka. Yes. And what were they teaching Prahlad?
Mundane things.
He was teaching them how to rule and divide the kingdom, how to become a good ruler. And did Prahlad Maharaj like that?
Mm-hmm.
No, he did not like this division in enemies and friends. So, for if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, this knowledge is possible to understand. Understanding does not depend upon high parentage. The living entity is certainly pure on the spiritual platform, and therefore anyone who attains spiritual platform by the grace of the spiritual master can also understand this confidential knowledge. So you have to be pure in mind to understand that. Because you remember the qualifications of the hearer described in the third chapter of the first canto, last verse, it is Sutta Goswami explains that I will explain you the same thing as I heard from my spiritual master, which I heard with rapt attention. I will explain it to you according to my realization. With rapt attention means, to get rapt attention means be pure in mind. Be pure in mind means following the religious principles of mercy, austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, means following the four regulative principles that gives that, because not following them is contaminating your mind and you cannot understand anything. That's the reason why non-devotees cannot understand anything of transcendental knowledge. Yeah. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. One who has faith in his spiritual master receives transcendental instruction. Only when one has faith in the spiritual master, you will receive it. Otherwise, it's not delivered. You don't get the message. Interesting. So, well, one can say, I don't need a spiritual master. But here, you see, you need faith in the spiritual master. That, and then his attachment for material life slackens. He's able to advance on the spiritual path. So by hearing of the spiritual master with faith, you become disinterested in material affairs. No attachment anymore. So a person who can keep faith in the words of his spiritual master but acts independently never receives the authority to chant the holy name of the Lord. Interesting. Yes. One takes initiation in ISKCON, and then you have all these instructions of Srila Prabhupada that which clearly indicates that one can only make spiritual advancement by performing service to the mission of the spiritual master. That's confirmed by the Bhagavatam. Mahat Seva is required. Sustra Shosha Dadansya Vasdevkata Rajitsyan Mahat Seva Vipapunya Tirtani Sevana. That's one that must hear with rapt attention the Bhagavatam and rendering service to the Mahatma. Rendering service, pleasing the Mahatma. And then one gets taste for the Bhagavatam, for Krishna. So, there is no question of not engaging in the mission of the spiritual master after taking initiation. You will not make spiritual advancement. This engagement is essential. If one acts independently, according and by not executing the orders of the spiritual master, then it's useless, the whole endeavor. It's just completely useless. That's the importance here. Actually, the meaning of the words of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam are actually revealed to one who strictly follows orders of the spiritual master. You get it only when you start following the orders of the spiritual master. They are also revealed to one who has equal faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada concludes, in other words, being faithful to both Krishna and the spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Further, this is the process of spiritual understanding. Asintya kalu ye bhavana tam stari takena choyayat. One should not try to understand things beyond our material conception by argument or counter-argument. That's not our process. That's the process in the academic world. One makes a PhD study, and what is that about? Oh, this part. This scholar argues this, that, and that, and the other maintains this, that, and that, and then that's the whole thing. And then you have to start arguing also in your thesis that and that's a so-called contribution to scholarship. But that's not our process to doing that. Our process is mahachane yenagata sapanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of great authorities who came down in the parampara system. So that's the faith in the spiritual master. One part, the other part is in following the instructions of the spiritual master. Now, how to practice Krishna consciousness under the instruction of a spiritual master? Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. You need a living spiritual master who knows your nature, who can explain you how to engage you in your devotional service. When I just joined Radhadas, my Guru Maharaj said, oh, you are an accountant, okay, become now a chartered accountant. So that was my mission, and to help Radhadas with all tax defense and all legal things, and I did that for many years. So he engages you according to your aptitudes, your propensities, your qualities. The order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. That's Srila Prabhupada writing. One sentence. That anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj said, yes, one should form a GBC. They did not do it. What happens with the Gaudiya Math? Completely. So many branches now. It's useless. A person who strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master are useful in executing the will of the Supreme, whereas persons who deviate from the strict order of the spiritual master are useless. This is the way to advance in spiritual science. One must accept the words of an acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the secret of success. However, one's guide must be a spiritual master who is actually an unalloyed devotee, strictly following the instructions of the previous acharya without deviation. Mm-hmm. This, the last quote I have, is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj. One can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of the spiritual master. This acceptance of the words he hears from the mouth of the spiritual master is called Shraddha Vakya, which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master instructions without deviation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this connection remarks in this connection that a disciple must accept the words of the spiritual master in connection that a disciple must accept the words of the spiritual master as his life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this by saying that his spiritual master ordered him to chant the holy name of Krishna. He always chanted the Hare Krishna mantra to his direction. Krishna mantra chapa sada e mantra sara. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of the entire universe, he nevertheless took the position of a disciple in order to teach by example how a devotee should strictly follow the orders of the spiritual master in executing the duty of always chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Only fools give up the service of the spiritual master and think themselves advanced in spiritual knowledge. In order to check such fools, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself presented the perfect example of how to be a disciple. A spiritual master knows very well how to engage each disciple in a practical duty. But if a disciple thinking himself more advanced than his spiritual master gives up his orders and acts independently, he checks his own spiritual progress. Every disciple must consider himself completely aware of the signs of Krishna and must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before his spiritual master. So, this is the end of this seminar on Guru Nishtha, having faith, influencing faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. This knowledge, which we discussed in this seminar, it should be basic knowledge of the process of devotional service, because it's the motor that brings everything about our devotional qualities, our spiritual advancement. But still, in our ISKCON movement, we see in practice, just by observing, that many are not getting this message and are insufficiently engaging in the mission of the spiritual master. And it was my humble attempt by presenting this seminar to inspire you to really meditate on this point and as such improve our serving attitude towards following the instructions of the spiritual master and make weekly advancement. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
You said about practicing Krishna consciousness and it should be from a living spiritual master.
Yeah.
What about Prabhupada? I mean, for those who are not initiated, through his books, you could practice from that, couldn't you, as an alternative method?
That's a good question, and a question which has been asked many times. But we can follow and accept Srila Prabhupada, and his instructions are very powerful. By following them and having faith in them, one can develop a spiritual life, but to a certain level. One has to follow the instructions of spiritual master, of Srila Prabhupada, and the scriptures, which says association with devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to follow that instruction and daily hear the Bhagavatam, associate with devotees. And then there is the point of getting practical guidance in your life. You need a person with advanced to see how you are contaminated, what your qualities are. And he sees your practical situation and will advise you to further advance. Therefore you need a spirit, a living spiritual master. But the living spiritual master is an extension of Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. He's related to Srila Prabhupada. Bonafide spiritual master has to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada.
Well, what about the devotees who were initiated by Srila Prabhupada
yeah.
and still here? And what do? The Srila Prabhupada's not there to advise them. He's not living, is he, apart from his books?
Yeah. So after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, after the disappearance of the spiritual master, one has to take shelter of all the senior devotees, that because they are representatives of Srila Prabhupada also. That the disciple becomes the next spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master. So we are all on that level. To a certain extent, we have the order to become spiritual master. Spiritual master does not just mean the one who initiates, but it means everyone who is more spiritual advanced than you can give you instructions. Of course, that should be understood with discrimination. Srila Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, he explains how to discriminate between different grades of different classes of devotees. And preferably, you should seek the association of those who are most advanced in that association and learn from them. Learn from them what the aspects of devotional service in which they are good. I explained before, I learned from Bhujampuru the art of preaching the Bhagavatam. I learned mainly something about preaching Bhagavad Gita from Prahlad Nanda Maharaj. And so I learned deity worship from other devotees who were good in that, were advanced in devotion. In deity worship. So we have so much opportunities because Srila Prabhupada is present everywhere in ISKCON. That everywhere you go, Prabhupada is in the center and Prabhupada should be in the center. Because we don't do that, that's a disease. And putting Srila Prabhupada in the center means following its main instructions. But Srila Prabhupada gives main instructions, but how to apply that to our situation, the details, we need a spiritual master. Unless you are becoming really advanced. But still, one remains a disciple of a spiritual master. And before the spiritual master presents himself as a fool, this humbleness is very important.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
About spiritual master giving orders and instructions, how is it possible for certain spiritual masters who have like more than 1,000 disciples to give individual disciple instructions?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
No, that's not possible.
How can that come about and how can that devotees from their disciples advance?
Spiritual master does not mean only Diksha Guru. That's a misconception. It may be even dangerous in ISKCON. To just take shelter of a Diksha Guru. What if happens something with that Diksha Guru? That it's proven they are not all Uttam Adhikars. An Uttam Adhikar, no chance of falling down, Srila Prabhupada says in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita text 2. No chance. A Madhyam Adhikar does not fall down, Srila Prabhupada says. But the third class devotee, he can fall down. So all these spiritual masters who fall down, what does it mean? Third class. So we learn from history, we see. So don't take shelter, just shelter of one person in ISKCON. It's more sure for spiritual life if you take many siksha gurus and learn to discriminate with advanced. Then it becomes like a bundle, it becomes very strong, and a bundle you cannot break through that association. Even if something happens to your own spiritual master, you are not lost.
Yeah.
You get the support of the others. Yes, you understand?
You said learn to discriminate. How would you kind of do that? So if you take...
Yeah, that's a whole subject matter. It's too short for me to explain that in a few minutes.
Mm.
But study the fifth chapter, the fifth verse of Nectar of Instruction, and there you have in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that everything there, every verse there in that purport is of great significance. You can hear the lecture given by Prahlad Nandamaraj. He gave a whole seminar just on that point, on that purport of the fifth verse of the Nectar of Instruction. 5 days, 2 hours every time. He was speaking on that purport to explain that. And you can see that lecture, video recorded. You go to my website, lilasukha.blogspot.com, and then you go to seminars, Prahladananda Maharaj, and then you seminars, and then you go to Nectar of Instruction, 3 lectures given in Croatia. And that's very powerful, hearing that. He explained it much better than I can do it, because this is a weak spot in our movement. All our problems, practically, come from that we cannot discriminate who is advanced, who is not advanced. And he explains it very carefully. Because in that purport, Srila Prabhupada also says, one should take shelter of an uttam adhikar. But if there are no uttam adhikars, or we cannot discriminate, we are in trouble. But also, one can take shelter of a madhyam adhikar. He can also guide you, but not further than his realization. Even a kanishta adhikar guru can guide you. But that should be understood with discrimination. And he explains that discrimination. I will not explain it here because it's just too sensitive. Listen to his lecture. He explains it perfectly. You can get a deeper understanding there. Because this is a very, very important point to understand. That Maharaj meditated 30 years on that question and then came up with that seminar, and it has depth. Just hear it. Okay, something else? Yes?
Is it true that the sampradaya we follow is majority down the siksha line anyway? I mean, if you look at the majority associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how many of them are initiated?
Yeah, we are not a diksha line, we are a siksha guru line. Okay, very good point. That our connection with the spiritual master is following the instructions. That's our connection. Not the diksha thing, with the show, with them. Yeah. Of course, it has also, it's not really a show, it also great significance, because it offers the connection with the Guru Parampara in the sense that the disciple starts his relationship with the spiritual master. It's a start, initiation, of the start of following the instructions of the spiritual master. And having faith in that, one becomes purified. Yeah, that one follows the process of serving the spiritual master's instructions with humble. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good point. Okay. We come at the end. Thank you very much.